Happy 300th episode! Oh!
Rastahorn! 300 Seuss.
We did it.
I like, now we're in the threes. This is my favorite. We're getting up to my favorite numbers.
Right, and you're 33. Yep.
Okay.
This is something from the universe, I think.
Yes. Oh, cool.
I like it. I have a good feeling about the next 100 episodes.
Same.
They're going to be amazing.
Man.
Wowie, wow, wow.
I just feel so grateful for all of our listeners and for you, Suze, and just wanted to take a minute to just say thank you and just how appreciative I am of everybody and just how wonderful it feels to have a place where we can come and talk about funny stuff and maybe learn some new things and then share it all and get people's comments and feedbacks. I feel like we've created such a great community here. Thanks to all of you listeners. And that's it.
Did you have this speech prepared?
No, but I felt like I should just like speak from the heart because I was really like feeling it right now.
That is so nice. And I agree too. And they have been with us through a lot of shit.
Right.
So
yes.
Feels real nice.
Loyal.
Mm-hmm. They got through that dark period when we had to do it separate for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that's over.
Right, because I miss you too much.
I know. I was thinking that the other day. I was like, I just felt like I needed a little bit more Sarah, so I'm glad to see you.
Suze. And, you know, it's, like, hard with the clinic and everything I'm doing. Like, I feel like I'm so disconnected from my phone now and, like, not able to just, like, check in and see how you're doing and all this stuff. And, you know, I don't even have time to, like, go on social media. So I feel like I got to get all I can when I am here with you, you know?
Soak it in. Well, let me, you know, spoiler alert, nothing's ever new. You don't have to check in because I literally have every single day is the same. And it's like Groundhog
it's
Day
just
over
an
here.
Update on the weather. Which
reminds me, because I said Groundhog Day, have you watched Russian Doll yet?
No, but people keep telling me I have to see it.
Yeah, I think you'll really like it.
By people, I mean three people told me I have to see it. Well, you'll be the fourth one. So that's enough
people.
I mean,
that's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people. Right. That's a bunch. Yeah. So
I love
Natasha
Lyonne, too.
She's
so cool.
Me, too. She
she's sexy, right?
Yes. Totally.
She is BDE bad.
Oh, my. You know what? She might have one of the biggest.
Yeah. She has the biggest dick energy.
Dude. I actually have like chills from thinking about that. She is a bad bitch.
She
and
really
I love
is.
Her.
I, when watching it, was really struck by her confidence and felt like I wish all women. She's beautiful, but she's not beautiful in the way that like we think of. Mm-hmm. You know, is what the stereotype. And I wish all women that had unconventional looks or what is not considered traditionally beautiful felt the way she seems to feel, where comfortable in her skin, super sassy and hilarious and very sexy.
Super sexy. Yeah. And you know, and I like what she's doing for curly haired gals.
Yes.
She's like, you wear your natural curls.
Agreed.
And you know what? Get some bangs. Fuck it.
I disagree with you on the bangs. I mean, hers
off,
are
though.
Fine.
I know.
But, God, I hate bangs.
Yeah, me too.
I look at people
on
and I'm like, what happened to you? I
hate them on me.
Yeah, for sure me. Like, I just don't understand what goes on in someone's head. I told Adam, because we know someone that just cut bangs, and I said, my theory is that when people's lives are out of control and everything's gone tits up, then they trick themselves into thinking that something simple like that is going to fix it. It's not conscious. I know they don't consciously believe that, but it's sort of like, everything's terrible. I know I can do this thing that requires like nothing of them.
Oh, God.
They don't have to do anything. But it's
when I felt
good.
Like I was trapped in a relationship that I couldn't get out of, because it wasn't like it was terrible. I just didn't love it. Like I wanted more, something else. But I cut bangs.
Oh my God.
It was the only time in my life I've had bangs.
Were they
like,
those Betty Page ones?
Yep.
Oh Lord.
I had like a really short bob with jet black hair and little bangs.
I'm sure you looked adorable though.
Right after I left. Oh, it was right after I got back from the real world. So that tells you something. Dude, Suze, I didn't even think about that part.
Sarah.
It was literally the, because I remember, I have a photo of me with this haircut when I was at a restaurant the night that it premiered. We went out with some friends to like celebrate, which is weird because we didn't celebrate by actually watching the episode. We celebrated by not watching the episode.
Yeah,
which,
right.
It's probably better though.
It's appropriate.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's when I have to tell the story if I haven't told it on here already, but it's been 300 episodes, so maybe you've forgotten. Probably one of my most embarrassing / most hilarious moments of my life. So my friends, we decide to go to someplace ridiculous. Not Joe's Crab Shack. Yeah, Joe's Crab Shack. It's Joe's Crab Shack. No. What's the one with Bubba Gump's? Bubba Gump's. I'm like, no, okay. It's worse than that. Bubba Gump's, like touristy place for real. So sure. We go to Bubba Gump's. It's like the night that my show premieres. And I have it in my head that like people are going to notice me, you know?
Oh, my God.
So we go to the restaurant. And I'm like nervous. I don't know why. Like thinking all of a sudden my life is going to change. And I get up to go to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom and I come back and, you know, back to the table. And I'm looking around and I'm like starting to see like people are looking at me. Like, oh my
no.
God, I'm seeing people notice me. Like people are definitely looking. So I go to sit. I sit down and then, you know, I keep thinking like, you know, that nervous, like, oh my God, people are watching me, you know, kind of takes over my brain. So I'm like, I got to get up and, you know, go to the bathroom, make sure like I don't have anything in my teeth or something like ridiculous like that. As I get up to go back to the bathroom, I notice the long piece of toilet paper stuck to my shoe that I've been dragging across the restaurant all night. And that is what they were staring at.
Stop it. That is not a true story.
Hand to God. True story. I swear on all that is holy.
That is symbolic. I'm telling you.
Right? I was like, well, this is, thank you, universe, for checking me at this moment to realize that I in that moment, I mean, I was so consciously aware of what was happening and had a lot of like metacognition, I guess, if you will, in this moment where I was like, this is a lesson in humility. And like, you're not as big as shit as you think you are. And the time that you thought you were like, you know, hot shit, you were dragging around something from taking a big shit. So
well,
check yourself, Sarah.
Being
You're
on
a
reality
cool.
show is akin to having a piece of toilet paper on your shoe forever.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
People might look, but they're not impressed.
No. Okay. There you go. That's the pretty ribbon on this story that
Oh, God,
so
that
ribbon.
Is so great.
But I will. I mean, how can I not share that?
I agree with you, though. Now that you said that you cut the bangs after your season,
yep.
Both times that I dyed my hair dark, it was right after I was on a show. And that is exactly what I was feeling, the sense of everything's crazy. I know I'll do this thing that looks terrible. But it felt empowering somehow,
mm-hmm.
like I was taking control.
Do you think there was a little bit of you or me who, I think also we would have to be totally unconscious of doing this, or we're not consciously doing this, but trying to make ourselves look different than that
absolutely
person. It's got to be, right?
Yes.
I mean, I totally changed up my haircut that is a very recognizable haircut to be something that wasn't that. Like,
yeah.
And so did you.
Yeah. And I did not, I know people talk about, you know, fame and how fun it is. And I know that we weren't really famous in the traditional sense, but people do recognize you and it is weird. And it felt very violating to me, which is so weird because I love attention, but it just felt strange.
It's attention when you're not asked, you know, there's a thing about, like, I'm performing right now, I am on, but, you know, it kind of blurs that line. That
not in the good
television.
Way of, like, you're
not,
an actor.
Right. Right. No, not
which
that
would
way.
Be fine. But this is a good segue because I wanted to kind of conclude our conversation about reality TV because we had the other two episodes about it. And there were still a few things that were, I don't know, kind of on my mind. And... gosh, things kept popping into my head, like about different behind the scenes stuff. And I'm like, oh, I should mention that. And then there were enough where I'm like, I'll probably just conclude that on our 300th. And kind of about reality TV in general, like I saw this article on Reality Blurred, which is a great website that's comprehensive on the reality topic.
Yes.
And it was about a study that scholars had done about Survivor and how, I forget the percentages, but it's like 87% of the immunity idols that are hidden have been found by men. And they were trying to figure out why that might be.
The location and where they're hidden.
That's one of the things that they think, but also that the women tend to not want to be aggressive and that they want to like seem like team players rather than going out on their own and looking for the immunity idol, which can give you put a target on your back.
Yeah.
So it's kind high of risk, low mix. Reward. Yeah. It's like a mix of logistics and who's hiding the immunity idols, probably men, which maybe women would hide them in a different place than men.
Yeah.
So where they're located and then the dynamics of the tribal situation, which are geared towards masculine decision-making and voting and things like that.
I wonder how you could change it to where it caters to female traits.
Well,
like it has to be something that involves like
hiring more women like to be on the crew would like, be a great start.
I mean, there's that's the obvious one.
Yeah.
Or maybe not so obvious for them.
Right. One thing that is obvious right now, I'm actually at my, we are at my studio and out in front of us, taunting us, is a bag of chocolate chip cookie thins from Brandless. And I
haven't those out for me.
So I haven't shared yet, but it's because once I open them, I can't stop eating them. They're so good. And so I'm saving them as like a reward after our 300th episode. We can indulge. Ooh.
Let's do it.
And you will
I feel
die.
Like it's dangerous for me to try these.
Oh my God, they're so good.
Because then I'll never stop.
Brandless is such a great company in general, but that's my favorite item. So I want if you guys are going to order from Brandless, make sure you get the chocolate chip cookie thins. But what I love about Brandless is that they have a mission where they want to make really high quality ingredients and products available to everybody. So it's not just for people with tons of dough. You can afford these and they have better options for you if you care about things like organic, fair trade, non-GMO. They have tons of gluten-free items. They have vegan items. And they have, I just got a new serving spoon. They have great bakeware and kitchen items that are professional grade. But the serving spoon was $3.
Yeah, you know what I got? Can opener.
Do you love it?
Suze, we had been using the same GD can opener that was rusty, and for years. Right. I didn't know what I...
Well, because, like, when are you going to buy a new one? But
right. And so I was like, oh, $3, yeah, throw it in the bag. And it's freaking great. I even said to Landon, I was like, Landon, just turn this. Just turn this. Just turn it. You have to just try it.
He probably thinks you're nuts.
No, he was on board. He was like, oh, dude, that's way better. And we tossed that other one real fast.
And they have premium diapers and organic baby foods if you guys have little ones in your house. And they are shipped directly to you. They've cut out the middleman. So you get really high quality items at an affordable price. And right now, our listeners can receive free shipping on orders of $48 or more at Brandless. Go to brandless.com/braincandy to see our favorites. They have a page that shows you our favorites and receive free shipping on orders of $48 or more. Don't wait a second longer. Go to brandless.com/braincandy to see our favorites and receive free shipping on orders of $48 or more. Start enjoying high quality products you deserve today. My sister just ordered two. I can't wait to hear what she thinks. I'm always like proselytizing our stuff because they're great.
It's so funny. I had a friend come over the other day and she was, you know, she's a Brain Candy Brainiac and a supporter of us on Patreon. Shout out to Jessie. And she was like, okay, so like what do I need? And I like gave her like went through like my house. I was like, well, you definitely need these shoes. Check out this bed sheet. Feel these hydrate. Like, I'm going to give you a hydration packet tomorrow when you wake up. Like, and I was like, I'm not trying to sell her on things.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't even, I don't get money from everyone that's sold. But what I do want is my friends to know when, and all I consider all the brain candy brainiacs friends, know, because it's hard to navigate the market out there of what's good, what's worth it. Everybody's saying this stuff is so good, but no, listen to us. We don't even advertise with anybody who's going to be like, you know,
and
peddling some bullshit.
Updated our website, thebraincandypodcast.com, so I put like all of the things that we talk about, the services and products, so that you can, you know, go right there if you're like, what's that code again? Because sometimes people listen in the car and stuff and then they can't remember, so you can go to our website and find all those as well. But yeah. Okay. So yeah, the survivor thing, like hiring women that work on the crew is a big thing. And I think just being aware, I mean, Survivor gets a lot of criticism in general about how, like, you know, Jane McGonigal, who wrote the Better.
Yes.
She talks a lot about Survivor and how the structure of the game is sexist, in her opinion.
I totally agree.
Yeah. And I don't think it's done intentionally, but once producers are made aware, and Jeff Probst is a big problem too, like on Reality Blurred, the guy talks a lot about how if you watch the thing that they do before they vote, I guess it's like the tribal meeting or whatever the heck
tribal council.
Tribal council, thank you. Mm-hmm. That Jeff tends to dismiss the women's sentiments and focuses on the men. And that people notice this pattern, and I don't think it's intentional, but he, now that he's been made aware, presumably he knows about this criticism. Why he's not changing, I don't know.
You know what this makes me think about? Why the hell has there never been a female host of any of these shows?
It drives me crazy.
There is no female. Can you think of one? Of a reality show that's a game show?
Yeah,
that's not based on love.
Big Brother. That Chen lady, Julie Chen.
Yeah.
She, I don't know if you call
her a host.
Doesn't
her husband like own the network or something?
He used to.
Yeah. Okay. So
until
there you
Me Too
go.
Happened.
So a little, oh my God. That was him?
Yeah. And now she goes by Julie Chen and then whatever the hell his name was. Like she added his name.
Whoa. Afterwards?
Yeah.
Stop.
Like she's standing in solidarity with him, so now she says her name is Julie Chen Moonves.
Oh, that makes
so maybe that's not a great example.
Yeah, that's not that. No, can we? How about somebody who isn't?
Okay, wait. You know, who else is there? Who
what
else?
What the hell? Let's see. Female reality show hosts.
Okay.
What do we have?
And then it's like a 404 error.
Yeah, no shit. I just typed in female reality show hosts, and it gave me the top 20 hottest hosts of reality shows. They're all men.
Of course. Okay, so we got Tyra Banks.
Right. America's Next Top Model. Okay.
Okay.
Female, but like, come on. That's a, come on.
That'd be real weird if they had a male do that one, but, you know.
But, I feel like they still bring in the males for almost like Nigel, that guy who was like the photographer.
Right,
and
yeah.
It's like they need the male stamp of approval to like.
Yeah. Right.
Not
it's annoying.
Okay.
No,
dude,
I'm not
I can't
into that.
Yep. That's it.
I mean, this is in fit. It's fitting with the reality TV environment in general, but they would not. They just. I can't even picture it on one of these. Games like where you compete. I can't even picture.
I mean, what the hell? On a list of all, like, you would think, if I told you we're going to make a list of the hottest something,
yeah.
You would not think that it was going to be a list of 20 men.
That's annoying.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm annoyed.
Yeah, it's the worst. But
and
then such is
like,
life.
The only time there is female, it's like they're on a panel, like
right.
America's Got Talent or something like that. We need to they need to change it up.
Yeah.
When are they going to ask you to host the challenge?
TJ is now like Because you remember how they used to change it all the time? Mm-hmm. You know, they had Dave Mira, and then they had somebody else. I can't remember.
Yeah, that guy, he wasn't good, though.
No.
He was terrible, actually. But he was real cute and real nice in real life, the skier.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What the hell is his name? I don't remember.
On Road Rules, they had this guy, their Viewer's Revenge, they had this guy named Drew. Mm-hmm. I can't even picture a woman doing it. They've never had a woman do it.
Like they would even stand up, though. Could you imagine all of the people on the challenge standing there and listening to a woman give them instructions? Like,
no.
They think about, Suze, go back in your mind to when Lisa, and for you guys, for your listeners, Lisa was a producer on the show. When she would come out and she would give us important information that we needed to hear, mm-hmm. and the comments that she got from people like Johnny.
Right.
I mean, it's like borderline sexual harassment happening to the crew all the time.
Yeah.
From what I hear, they're prepared. They get like briefed on that.
For real?
Yeah. Like here's how, because I asked I asked one of the audio girls, audio mixers who was female, I should say, how she feels about this. I'm like, it must suck. And she's like, well, they warned us about all this before.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Do you think they warn the men or just the women?
No, just the women.
Well,
please.
I mean, a lot of the female, myself included, cast members are attracted to the male crew.
Yeah, but we've never crossed the line. Like, never. I mean, one of the cast, one of the contestants, what do you call us? Challengers? what the fuck are we?
Cast members?
Cast members.
What the fuck?
One night when everybody was drinking, this guy was sober. He didn't even drink. His name was Noor, and he was on Fresh Meat. He grabbed one of the line producer's faces and licked it.
Oh, gross.
And then they had to come in and tell us there's a no licking producer rule. Like, no, like that needed to be said. You know when there are those ridiculous rules and you're like, why is this a thing? Well, because somebody did that. Yeah, this is that story.
Right. Well, listen, when I would do it, it wasn't like that. I was genuinely trying to date these people.
And we were just like giggling in the corner about like, you know, your future marriage to this man.
Right, not like...
You know, making lewd sexual comments or you know, throwing things at them when they tried to get a sentence out.
Because
that happened. They're like throwing pillows just like they do to the...
Yeah.
It's so rude.
I'll tell you what God. I am married to is using Instacart.
Mm-hmm.
Instacart is such a convenient service. I don't know if you guys have tried it, but you need to because... It's so handy to have this option. You can download it on your phone or you can use their website. And if you are out of something, you're looking for staples from like your favorite grocery store or whatever. The other day, my son was sick. And so we ran out of one of his cold medicines and we were able to choose from CVS. We need this particular item. And then it was delivered in about an hour. And that's the thing. Your groceries will arrive in as little as an hour. Or you can pick the time that they come. They keep the hot items hot, the cold items cold. It's just very easy and convenient, especially if you don't want to sit in traffic or look for parking or waiting in the checkout line is no fun. So try Instacart and get $10 off your first order. Go to get this limited time offer. You just have to go to instacart.com or download the mobile app and enter our promo code BRAINCANDY at checkout. That's $10 off your first order today at instacart.com or through the mobile app. And don't forget to enter our code BRAINCANDY, instacart.com or through the mobile app with our code BRAINCANDY at checkout and give that a try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, any hoodles. That guy, the host's name was Johnny Mosley, by the way.
Oh, Super nice guy. Johnny Mosley. So nice.
Do you think those guys got fired or that it was like their training schedule precluded them from continuing as host?
No, I think they just weren't a good, like, they just didn't have the right chemistry to do that.
Really?
Like, You know, because they tried to use Johnny Mosley again you know, he would like hosted some after show or whatever.
Yeah.
And we were all like, he's a bad interviewer. Like, he's a nice guy.
So nice.
And really great and lovely to talk to and just the sweetest. But
which is probably why he's not great as a host because he's not a narcissist.
Yeah.
not that TJ is, I'm not saying that, but a lot of like people in that field are, you know, kind of schmarmy. What is the word?
Yeah.
Blah.
Yeah. That. Yeah. And, you know, and TJ, is good at, you know, he's kind of like a, like, yeah, whatever you say, I'll do it. Like, you tell me to do this? Sure, I'll read that. Sure, you know? Like, he seems
grown into it.
Agreeable. Yeah. And he's done it so much, he knows the drill.
There was this article about reality TV's most annoying noise. And that's like a hard thing to narrow down.
I know what it is.
Do you?
I mean, for me.
Oh,
for
what's
me.
Yours? What's yours? The air horn.
No, the adjusting of the cameras at night. I even know the time intervals between each adjustment. It's 10 seconds and then 7 seconds and then 10 seconds and then 7 seconds.
People don't know what you mean, though. What is that?
Okay, so at night, oh my God. Okay, at night, once the lights go out, then the night cameras come on. But maybe they've upgraded them now, but at least when I was on the show, they're always trying to focus because it's dark. So anytime it's like always focusing. And when it focuses, it makes this noise that's like,
it sounds like a robot adjusting its body.
Yes, yes. And it does that in a very, like there's a pattern to it, you know, mm-hmm. And as I'm falling asleep, it's like the only thing I can think of. It's like I count in between them, you know, which is kind of nice, kind of like counting sheep. But instead you're counting the seconds in between, you know. But then that's when it's the only thing you can hear. Oh, it'll keep you up.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's it. But that's probably a personal problem, not for the listener or viewers or anything like that.
I believe, let me think. I'm not 100% sure, but I think the ruins was the only one that I did where there were night vision cameras in the room or like cameras in the corners of the ceilings.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I don't think that it happened.
Yeah, that was all we got.
And that was,
I would also say, yeah, the most annoying noise would just be like the yelling.
Yeah, the nonstop talking.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, this was about a thing that was created by a sound technician to add a sound effect to, I believe the first one was Hell's Kitchen. And there's a mashup. You can watch this video of all the times in just one Hell's Kitchen episode. Wait, what's that other Kitchen Nightmare? Maybe it was that.
Yeah.
But where they use this sound. And it's basically this weird sort of creaking, clanging that like indicates as soon as you hear it, you're like, oh, I've heard that a million times. But it's hard to describe, but it basically creates this weird kind of haunting, looming, nightmarish noise that apparently became so popular that this guy can't even watch reality TV anymore because he hears it so frequently. And it's weird because it's a noise where once you hear it, you'll be like, oh yeah, I've heard that a million times, but you don't really notice it as a viewer. It just creates a mood.
Wow. That's crazy. Okay. So just like how you're saying that new words get invented with changes in whatever, there are new sounds.
Yeah.
That are getting, oh my God. Uh-huh. It's that...
like screeching.
Oh, yeah. It's like it's like a bow. That's the thing I hear.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But
that
like...
is so... you know what? I won't be able to unhear it either.
Yeah. Now, every time you watch the shows, you'll hear it. But he kind of created it as we needed a noise that sounded like unpleasant. Mm-hmm. And to create this mood of Gordon Ramsay's pissed.
Yep.
And what he came up with.
So this is really, so you know, a long time ago you had talked about in an episode we did on music about there's a note that evokes has a specific name. You definitely know what this is. And it evokes an emotion and it's like, it was the first time that they used it, like music, not even that long ago. But it's like a, there's a name for it. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like a split something.
Who
or
Who
a,
used it?
You've said this.
No, but who used it? Who?
Oh, who? It's almost, oh, like the Beatles have used it. It's in songs and it creates like a feeling that, what
I can't think
it?
Of it.
It, you were totally the one who told me about it. I want to say that, like, even the song Blackbird has it, or some, and, well, basically, now that I can't think of what it is, but it's almost like kind of like a haunting noise, and you said it was banned for a while.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
This, like, oh, my God, you were the one who told me that story. It was, like, not, you weren't allowed to use it in music because it was thought to be too creepy in, like, I don't know, old medieval times or when
really
the, yeah and it's oh it was like you brought us a story of like the history of this
it
note
makes sense
and,
because yeah that's ringing a bell now that you said history it does make sense though because music can be so evocative
yeah.
And obviously if you've I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to watch an episode without the music overlaid.
Oh,
it's stupid.
Wow. Yes. Yes. We, you know, when we have is when we had to preview episodes when we went to do a
reunion.
A reunion.
Right. When they're not complete. And you
yeah.
watch it and you're like, this looks dumb. Why would anyone watch it? The music really brings a lot to these shows.
And it's the augmented fourth or the chord of evil. They call it the tritone
oh
or the devil's interval.
I love that.
And it's
that.
Like a, it's. Yeah, it was banned in Renaissance church music. I mean...
Oh, yeah. I remember that now.
Yeah, I love when you get excited about a story that you told me about. But I'm thinking about this and this note, how it created, like, it, people recognized that it was so, the devil's note or whatever. They said, don't play it.
Yeah.
So, because I'm thinking that these audio engineers, you know, a lot of them have backgrounds in music history, in, like, sound... Well, a lot of them do. Most
theory,
of them do.
Yeah.
Sound theory and stuff like that. And through that, you learn like the notes that create this. So he's like manufacturing emotions with tones.
And sound effects. How weird.
Wow. Oh, my God. This makes me think of a whole bunch of stuff. Like, I got anxiety in, you know, I've always had really bad anxiety, but I'm starting to do better at recognizing what is real and what's just external stimuli that's like putting me on edge. And all of a sudden I was in the movie theater a little while ago watching a preview and I started thinking, oh my God, I'm so anxious. Is my house like, did I leave a candle on? Did I leave the hair straightener plugged in? Is the house going to burn down? And I stopped and I was like, what's going on in my environment right now? And I was watching a preview for a movie that was really intense and a thriller. And it had noises like the sound of the preview was designed to make you feel anxious. And I had to tell myself, no, you're fine. This movie is designed to make you feel like this, but you're just labeling it, like labeling the source of this anxiety or this anxious feeling as the wrong thing that's causing it. And so, yeah, so that's totally happening on those reality shows. And dude, that's a lot of power.
Right. And another thing that they designed that is intentional was the flamingo shave set.
Oh, okay. What, how do they make that?
Well,
how do they make that? What the heck is so different about why is it the best? And like my underarms, ooh, no more razor burn, Suze.
I know.
For real.
Sarah's so great.
I'm very passionate about this and I've been waiting for you to talk to me about this.
Well, that's the thing is that I know that this is like something you think a lot about because it can be really frustrating when you do get those bumps and when it does create the burn. And basically Flamingo saw that their men's razors were super awesome and great. In fact, that's what I always used was the men's razors because I thought they were better. And they were like, maybe we should do this for women who have to remove way more hair than men. Hello. And this is a shocking statistic. 84% of women would give up sex for 3 months if it meant they could get rid of their body hair. I would do that.
I would do it for longer than 3 months.
Me too. Like never had to worry about body hair ever again.
Please. Done. Who needs the sex?
Flamingo makes body care starting with hair, and they wanted to make really nice hair removal solutions for women, and they did a great job. Not only do they look cute in the bathroom, they do a fantastic job at getting rid of your unwanted hair. And they want you to enjoy shaving in 2019. So our listeners get the Flamingo Shave Set, a $22 value today for just $16 plus free shipping. You get a set with all your shave essentials from Flamingo. So it's the brand that Vogue, Glamour, Well Plus Good, and Fast Company all talking about, a $22 value for just $16 plus free shipping today when you visit shopflamingo.com/braincandy. That's right. Visit shopflamingo.com/braincandy. They have the shave gel, they have body lotion, they have the cartridges, they have the whole thing. Yeah.
And finally, one of those little suction cups that actually sticks to the GD wall.
I know. Geez, what took so long?
Right. I'm really
mad about it. Yeah. Another thing that I thought about after we recorded our last challenge episode was about how, I don't know if this is interesting or not, but whenever I finished my first season of Road Rules, you know, at the end, you get a handsome reward. That's what they call it. But those are different each season. Mm-hmm. And by the time I was on the show, which people always say I was on the first season, I was on the sixth season, but
oh.
I think it was so long ago, they just think it was the beginning. But anyway, our handsome reward was a motorcycle. But what happens after the show is you can basically, you could choose whether you wanted the motorcycle or if you wanted the money that it was worth, or you could swap it out for a different season's handsome reward. Like they had this whole collective of like all the previous seasons, what they won. And you could be like, I don't want that, but one of the options was a whole semester at sea. Like you could go around the world.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I would have probably fought harder for those prizes.
And then I remember Christina on my season, she chose to get a trip to Greece, which had been the prize for, I think, season 5. And she traded it for that, which I think that's a weird thing that no one would have maybe known. So that's why I wanted to
share that. I was on the show, Suze, and I did not know that. I mean, granted, I wasn't on Road Rules, but you'd think I would maybe have heard this. Never.
Yeah, and I think people picture it kind of like The Price is Right, where like
you
win a living room set and then it's delivered to your house and you just have to deal with it. It wasn't like that. Or you could say no thanks if you didn't want to pay taxes on it. You just say, I don't want it.
Yeah.
I had to pay taxes on
the prizes we won too.
Yeah, on all the shows you have to pay. You're responsible for the taxes, which can really be a lot on prizes. So if you don't really care about the prize and it's not worth the hassle, you can just say forget it.
Also, now that I think about it and thinking about the prize that you had and then the prize that I got, kind of gendered there too.
100%.
Let's go through some of the ones that were available when I was on the show. Of course, let me preface this with, are these items that women could love? Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
Are these items that if you took a poll of, 50%, 51% of the population, who would like it more, men or women? Probably men.
Yeah.
So an electric guitar, snowboard, a massage chair, like a big comfy chair for playing video games, for gaming, a home turntable system, like for DJing, no motorcycles, which would have been nice. I would have liked that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that, and like, I think a drone at one point was available, but I can't think of any prize where you'd be like, oh yeah, most women would like this, but maybe a few guys. Mm-mm, not one.
Yeah. It doesn't skew the other way ever.
And ever.
Mm-hmm.
So like we have to be fine. Like you have to find the specific, female who's like into those. Like I was super happy with the snowboard. I ended up trading Cyrus like a watch for a snowboard or something like that.
That was cool. Yeah, it's, I guess the reason is that whoever's watching the challenge is who those people are trying to reach.
Oh, duh. Their marketing.
Right, it's not like
too.
They're it's purposefully.
Not for us.
Yeah.
Silly me. That was dumb. That's even, I can't even believe I didn't realize that's, but they don't care about giving us prizes. They care about the people who are
promoting
the company.
But then
again, I think there are a lot of women who, there are a lot of like, that's like, college girls.
Well, that's the thing. And I talked to Scott about this regarding Challenge Mania, because I was curious, like, who their audience is. And he says it's about half and half. Huh. But yeah. I think the perception is, like, they're two male hosts of that show. So
yeah.
I bet advertisers would assume the audience is male, but that's not the case.
And it's, so like, physical and more like, yeah. You know,
but girls like the challenge a lot.
Yes.
I would argue it skews in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would too. I would argue that it's more females who watch it.
Right. So I don't know, but I agree with you that that gets real old. Is just the prizes are not what every woman wants. Although I guess the ones on Road Rules had a lot of travel options, which is nice for both men and women.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, can you imagine me riding around on a hog?
No.
Come on.
Not, sorry, sis.
Like, I like the idea, but let's be realistic here.
Yeah.
Let me see. Wait, I had... Oh, this isn't about reality TV, but it's, like, just funny to me, which is how Karl Lagerfeld died, you know? That part's not funny. But how he left $150 million to his cat.
No, he didn't.
He did. Can you believe?
I hope that cat is very philanthropic and decides to donate a large percentage of that. Because what the hell does that cat need?
Why would someone do that?
Why would... You know, the only thing I can think of, it's a fuck you to his family.
I guess, but give it to charity, man.
Like, yeah, but I mean, he probably had a lot of money. Right?
So you think some of it went to them?
I think that's, I think that's a smaller percentage. No, I think what happened is maybe there was a portion that went to some charity or something like that, but to kind of like, because he was a gay man, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
So, and he's older, so maybe at the time, this is totally me just like, Sarah's got a theory over here. Like, what could be going on? I have zero evidence nothing to back this up at all. But what could have happened is maybe he came out to his family and maybe they were like, no, we don't believe in that, or don't, you know, whatever. Or maybe he hid that, or maybe he was rejected by them in some way, or, you know, and then, or maybe they like just tried to get after his money.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you give it to charity?
Because giving, I don't know, I feel like it's even a more of a fuck you to people if you're like, I could have given it to you, but instead I gave it to my cat because that relationship is more important than my relationship with you. There's like a meaning underneath that, you know? Okay. There's like the message, the what on the surface level meaning, and then there's this underneath deeper meaning, and I think that may be an F you. Now I want to know what his family...
we need to investigate.
With his family. Yeah.
This is the perfect episode, though, for me to talk about what I did with my VHS tapes of Road Rules, because back I was on it so long ago that that's the format in which they were sent to me. And that isn't very much help when you do not have a VCR. And so they were just collecting dust. And so I decided to use Legacy Box, which is a service where you can digitize all of your old style home movies or VHS tapes from your childhood. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people had parents with those old clunky like video cameras, and they have those little tapes that went in there to film their home videos, and they can't watch them because who has the thing that does that?
Nobody. Those don't even exist anymore.
Yeah. So this is a nice option for people who want to still enjoy these things instead of just having them in a closet somewhere. I got my mom the service, and we're going to go through all her old stuff and get them digitized as well. And there's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Visit legacybox.com today to get started. And for a limited time, they're offering our listeners an exclusive discount. Go to legacybox.com/brain and you get 40% off your first order. Go to legacybox.com/brain, save 40% today, get started preserving your past. And I think it makes a great gift for your parents or grandparents who I'm sure have older things as well. Okay, the next thing I wanted to talk about was, have you watched Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club?
No.
I haven't
Do
watched
I need
it.
To?
Well, I read an article about it. Leave it to me to not watch it and then just read about it.
Right, study it.
Well, because Kayla is on it from the challenge.
Correct. Yes.
And so it's intriguing.
And so is Nicole.
Nicole.
Is it? No, she's on X's, X at the beach. Never mind.
Oh, okay. Well, and so I knew that Kayla was a villain on it, or at least didn't get along with Lindsay.
Really?
And so I was curious about it. Apparently, this article describes how Lindsay, you know how Lindsay Lohan developed that accent?
Yeah.
Like, she sounds like she's from, like, Europe or something, mm-hmm. but she's from mm-hmm. fucking Long Island. Like, mm-hmm. what are you, who are you mm-hmm. kidding with that? Mm-hmm. But it said in the article that when she cries, her accent goes away and she becomes back to Long Island again.
Uh-huh.
But she has this
affect, yeah.
quote-unquote best friend. I think his name is Panos or something. And he's this gay guy and he's, like, the villain of the show. And so he's very entertaining, but for purposes of her best friend, he's like a total asshole.
Mm.
And they're just really mean to the staff. And
oh,
it's arbitrary stuff. Like, she'll say, I want all of our servers to write down their, like, I don't know, 5-year plan or their goals in life. And if they don't say it's to develop the Lohan brand, she fires
them.
Oh,
stop it.
Swear.
Stop.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, right? Oh my God. I actually, like, I'm like
choking.
Yes. I mean, come on.
It's insane. And like, I don't think she's kidding.
I don't think so either.
On some reality shows, okay. you can tell that it's staged or the producers told them to do this. I think like maybe that's true, but that she believes in all this shit.
Yes, I think so too. And I feel like this is, again, Sarah's got theory. If I were to analyze what's going on here, you know, she had that very bizarre relationship with a man from the Middle East.
Yes.
And she lived like far away.
He was Russian, but yeah.
Oh, Russian. Excuse me. Russian. Mm-hmm. Where did mm-hmm. she live though?
In Dubai.
Dubai. Okay. Because I was like, that's where I was thinking. Okay. So she lived in Dubai with this man who was Russian. I can imagine that she had very little control in that relationship.
Yes. Well, he beat her up all the time.
Oh, my God. You stole the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, this is a bullied becomes the bully situation.
Yeah.
Where she's now projecting her feelings about being controlled and being forced
powerless.
To do things powerless onto other people, where now she gets to be in that role.
It's
this classic.
I think you're right.
I know I'm right.
And it's real sad.
Yeah, it is real sad because what she really needs is a loving, supportive relationship to break down those, you know, this is all defense mechanisms. That's like, it's really, this is like, you know.
But like, I used to think about her and think like, she's going to turn it around, you know, like when Oprah gave her that show and mm-hmm. Oprah was like trying to get her to see the light. Mm-hmm. And when that didn't work, I was like, it's over.
Yeah, and it's just too,
She's got serious issues. Her parents are weird and crazy, and she's just got this card stacked against her.
There's a lot of research out there about the age in which, I don't know what this age is, or when this needs to happen by, but our like morals and values and those kind of things become set at a certain age where you can't really, you know, if you haven't learned the lesson by now, you're not going to.
Mm.
I mean, you can control behavior and you can like, you know, have them kind of see like what does this behavior still serve you? But a lot of the things like, you know, and I picture her parents who I feel are very like, what's in it for me? And, you know, kind of in their own way, narcissistic,
mm-hmm.
that she probably has some attachment injuries from childhood that have left her feeling like there's really no safe place and for her to like, let her guard down.
Yeah. I mean, she's
and
clearly damaged.
Yeah, I think so. I think that it all started at such a young age. And then when I should explain myself better, the time where, you know, she could have been working to fix a lot of these or to create healthier relationships or have these, like a great thing is things like, you know, extracurricular activities or school or camp or sports or stuff like that, when you've had attachment injuries with, and that's like when the parents weren't able to be there in the way a parent should, that a lot of times you get that through these other kind of relationships in your, you know, outside of your family of origin. But if you're thrown into the, you know, entertainment industry at that age, it changes everything. And you don't get those kind of where that, that bar of like, this is acceptable behavior, where you learn what is right and what is wrong, what is okay, what is not okay. Like where those lessons should have been taught. She was alone and being taught by a teacher on set. And those teachers, I mean, there are a few that are, I'm sure, wonderful, but the ones that I worked with when I was younger, they didn't give a crap.
Really?
It's, it seemed like they, like I had one on one shoot who really cared and was like super into it and was so engaged. But the other ones that I had met on set or worked with on set, because they have to require, they, for children who work in entertainment, they require a teacher. Like you have to have somebody to teach them, and because they're not going to school. And I felt like they didn't care, at least the ones I worked with.
Well, and when you couple that with parents that are clearly seeking attention themselves and damaged and have dysfunctional relationship, well, I mean, it's like she never learned how to be a normal person.
Right. That's what I'm totally, the way to, thank you for simplifying everything that I was saying. That's it.
Like when you're,
the, all the places that she should have learned those things, she didn't get to be. So now she's like, oh, and then what happens is you're stunted in that childhood age.
Yeah.
So she's like a perpetual adolescent.
And I know so many people like that who were, had trauma at a certain age, and then it seems like that's who they are forever.
Uh-huh.
Well, and is there any way to make up for that or what?
Absolutely. Totally. Things like, you know, creating healthier relationships in your adult life is a great way. If you want to like really dive into it, then you can do things like EMDR, which is a specific kind of therapy that helps reprocess childhood memories. So a lot of times what happens, well, not a lot of times, what happens is the ways in which you survive as a child become your, they served you as a child. Like you needed to do those things, whether it was isolate or, you know, build up defenses, or they're always like these maladaptive coping strategies that that children start doing to survive these awful childhoods. But then what happens is those become the way that they deal with all problems. And then when they get older, they still turn to those same kind of solutions. And I use the analogy of like, if you have a child who has a family who's emotionally like, or neglected, you have a child who's neglected. And so they invent an imaginary friend, and the imaginary friend keeps them company and it really helps them. And this is how they survive their childhood. Well, could you imagine if that imaginary friend stayed with them their whole life? And then they had to like, you know, get a table or a seat at the dining table for their imaginary friend when they're like 40, they're not gonna be able to have healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. So that's like an extreme example, but one that's more visible that we, you know, you can kind of like wrap your head around. But a lot of times it's not an imaginary friend. It's something like, I'm going to, you know, be like defend myself with being really angry, or I'm going to be really passive and I'm going to be like a people pleaser and I'm going to sacrifice all of my own needs to just make those around me happy. Or I'm going to, you know, break every moment of tension with, by making a joke and, you know, which we think, oh yeah, that's great. But that can cause a lot of dysfunction in relationships later because it's not really healthy. And so you have to like break those and teach new coping strategies, undo that, and allow them to reprocess the memories from childhood that were traumatic through the lens of an adult to go, okay, I am safe and I am fine. Whew, right. That was long-winded.
No, it's so helpful. I was just telling my sister about this because you and I had talked about it privately. And it's such a helpful way to look at how people behave as adults, because sometimes it just feels like that person's nuts. But yeah. If you can reframe it as, this is something they developed as a coping strategy, and now it's ruining them. Mm-hmm. And we all know people like that, including ourselves. It could be like, you know, less extreme.
Yeah.
But to you know, just to be aware of it, I think is so helpful.
And I heard this analogy recently about like the job, the role of parents in a child's life. And especially, you know, like this is, it was told to me in the father-daughter relationship of like being the father, you know, making sure that you're safe and you understand that you're protected and you're, you know, I'm here for you. And they said it's kind of like, you know, having an umbrella and being in, you know, you're out in a rainstorm and parents come by and they open up your umbrella for you and they hold the umbrella over your head. And they're like, here you go. I'll keep you safe from the rain. Now, what happens if you don't have parents to say, oh, it's raining outside, time to open our umbrella, and recognize that when it's sunny, you don't need to have it open. If you have a child who's experienced trauma and had to kind of be the one to open their own umbrella, they don't ever shut it.
Oh, wow.
So whether it's sunny, whether it's rainy, no matter what, those defenses are up and that umbrella is blocking out anybody else who could hurt them. And everybody is. It's always raining. And it's always, you know, because I got to keep this umbrella up because I didn't learn when it was safe to put it down and when I needed to open it.
That is so interesting.
Isn't it? That's a good one, huh?
It is, Sarah.
I didn't come that's up with that. One. That was somebody else's. But I was like, eh, that's deep. That makes sense.
That's why I do like periodically to do these episodes where we kind of like talk about the weird and wacky of reality TV, because mm-hmm. sometimes it can be a really helpful lens about humanity, the human condition, yes. human behavior in general, because it's so extreme mm-hmm. that it's easier to see something that's out of the ordinary than more subtle ways in real life. Mm-hmm. And so it can be a helpful tool, I think, to understanding people, yourself, and yes. life. So it's like the and silver lining.
And just like I, you know, with these people who, where you, they're so exposed and, you know, like Lindsay Lohan, where it's easier for us to go, maybe this is a result of a really yeah. bizarre upbringing. You know, we can see that. And what I hope that, at least for our listeners who are listening to this, is to keep that in the back of their minds. When you have regular interactions with regular people,
yeah,
it's 99% of the time, not you and them. It's their stuff, you know, yeah. like you're good. If somebody mm-hmm. it responds in a very like bizarre way or gets upset about something, you're like, what? That doesn't seem like the right response. It is not you.
Well, yeah, it's a good reminder of like, if something seems odd, it is.
Yeah.
And that you don't have all the information or, you know, things are at play that you're just not privy to. Yeah. And so, I don't know. It's just a helpful tool to navigate the world.
Totally.
But now we're done getting deep about reality TV. We're just going to move on here and eat some cookies to celebrate.
Yes. Oh, my God.
300th episode. I hope you guys are around for the next 300. Maybe we'll let Sarah rhyme again. Who knows?
Oh, my God. I'm going to save it for episode 301.
Don't do it.
I'm assuming is going to be
super fun.
Super exciting.
Don't forget to leave us a review. That'd be great for our 300th episode. And subscribe and
tell
and
a
let
friend.
Us know what, yeah, tell a friend. Tell us what you think. And we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.